Bibles with us this morning into Jeremiah chapter number 5, Jeremiah chapter number 5, and we trust that you're excited about being in God's house today and about hearing His Word today. We encourage you to make plans, even now. Put it on your calendar. There's flyers on the back. If you know somebody that you can give one to, give it to them. If you know a place where you can put one up where people will see it, put it up. Let's get the word out. But if you can be here for any of those services, we know you'll be blessed in each one. And I tell you, we're looking forward to it and just excited about what we're hoping God is going to be able to do. Brother Kenny Baldwin has grown to be a good friend and he's an awesome, awesome preacher. And I tell you what, if you've never heard Brother Kenny, you don't know what a blessing you're missing. And we're going to try to give you the opportunity to get to hear him some more. We're trying to get a date set up for spring revival with Brother Kenny. So we hope that it works out, and we hope that you get to hear him a little bit more. He's an awesome preacher. And then Brother Dale Vance, another awesome preacher, going to be with us. And just looking forward to what God's going to do in this meeting. It's focused towards young people, but you know, it's good for some old people to see some young people that aren't afraid to worship sometimes. Amen. And it's good to be reminded what's at stake and what's in store. Amen. And I tell you what, a church that don't have young people is a church that's dying. Amen. So the importance of young people and the importance of young people loving the Lord is paramount in our day and time. If you found Jeremiah chapter 5, stand with us, if you would, as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin reading in verse number 20. The Bible says, "Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence? Which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart, and they are revolted and gone." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the floor? Be seated. Verse 22. The Lord asked this question, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord." Fear ye not me. You know, we live in a time when it seems like there's no fear of God anywhere. We look into the world and we see that the world could care less. Our governments try to remove God from every aspect of our lives, and there are those who keep trying to propose legislation that would actually make it illegal for you to teach your children about God. Did you understand that? You know that? That's how bad things have gotten. That's how bad society is. We've lost a reverence for God, and we've tried to remove Him from every aspect of society. We've lost a reverence from God and in our personal lives, and you know, people don't even begin to think about God anymore. It was a time not too many years ago when, you know, you didn't hear about a lot of the crimes and a lot of the things that were going on at churches. My gosh, just maybe about 5 years ago or so, we had our air conditioning units stole out here. The church across the street from my brother's store, they had 5 units stole there, and got to calling around in churches everywhere. People were coming in and stealing their air conditioning units so they could sell the scrap and get a few dollars. And there was a time when people wouldn't even think about doing such a thing at a church. Now, they might have went to my brother's store and got his, but they'd left the church across the road alone. Amen. And you know, they'd have went to someone's house or somewhere else, but they wouldn't have went to a church. But we've got to the place where God is no longer placed in the place where He should be. And He's asked this question, says, "Fear ye not me?" But He's not posing this question to the world. We understand the world that don't know Jesus and the world that don't understand Jesus and the world that don't appreciate all that the Lord has done just doing what sinners do. Amen? They're living that way. He's posing this question to his people. He says, "Fear ye not me," saith the Lord. He's not talking to everyone else. He's talking to his people. And this morning, we want to ask you this question, where is the fear of God? Where's the fear of God going? As we were growing up, my wife and I were dating and going to the church, and I've told you this a million times, and sooner or later it ought to ring a bell. Sister Mary and Brother Jim can tell you the same thing. It ought to ring a bell. When we were growing up, everything that was going on in our life centered around what was happening right here at this church. Amen? We dated according to what was happening here at the church. Amen? Our dates wasn't apart from the church. Our dates were a part of the church. Amen? When we went on a date, a lot of times we were going with people from the church. One of the biggest problems I ever got, biggest trouble we ever got in dating one time was hanging out with a bunch of deacons. Hanging out with Brother Delbert. Went to a gospel concert up in Oxford. We left at halftime. We got home. Her mom was angry. She was mad. She was wondering where we had been. Said, "Man, we was hanging out with them deacons. We was hanging out with that church crowd. You can ask them tomorrow. We left at halftime. We didn't even stay for the second half of the concert." But you see, our lives revolved around what was going on here because this was everything. And it wasn't because it was the church. It was because of who the church represented and what the church spoke about. God says, "Fear ye not me." And I'm afraid that in our churches today, we're seeing a lot of people that don't fear the Lord. He says, "Fear ye not me." How can you fear God when you don't even have a reverence for God's person? God says, "How? Hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding." You say, "I love Jesus," but you really have no reverence for who Jesus is. I have no care or concern about what Jesus has done. "Oh, Pastor, I love Jesus. I want you to know how much I love Jesus." If you love Jesus, where is his place in your life? We no longer reverence his person. In Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says this, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his master and his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." God said, "Look," it's not the rest of the crowd that I'm worried about. He said, "It's my crowd. It's not the rest of the people that I'm concerned about." He said, "It's my people." He said, "I've raised them up. I've nourished them." Praise God, I want you to know something. Who was it that saved you? It was Jesus. Amen. Who is it that has given you eternal life? It's Jesus. Amen. Who is it that has brought you the hope of life eternal, a hope apart from the sufferings of hell? Who was it that was so good to you that he gave you more than you deserved? He went further than anyone could go and giving himself on an old rugged cross. It was Jesus. Who was it that nourished you spiritually and brought you out of the place where you were? Who was it that brought you from your addictions? Who was it that brought you from your sins and your trespasses? Who was it that delivered you from all these things? It was Jesus. Amen. But God said, the ox knows its owner. The ass knows his master's crib. He said, but my people have forgotten me. We no longer reverence his person. Man, we can never truly worship until we get a reverence for his person. He's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's more important than the most important thing. He's more important than your wife. He's more important than your boyfriend. He's more important than your girlfriend. Amen. He's more important than any. He's more important than your children. Amen. He's more important than your parents. Amen. But we place so much emphasis on everything else, and we delegate him and we regulate him and we just administer him out of our lives and put him in the back, and we make everything else more important. Amen. God says, "Fear ye not me." How can you fear him? That word fear means to have a reverence and a respect for him. How can you fear him and reverence him and respect him when you just give lip service? And he doesn't have your heart. See, when he's got your heart, when he's got your heart, your whole heart, he says, "Then I'll be found of you." He said, "When you seek me with your whole heart." People, you see, we come to service, we come to church, and we go through the motions of church. We go through the motions of worship. And we leave out of here and say, I got to come back to church tonight. I got to go to church another time. She's going to make me go to church. He's going to make me go to church. I got to go to church. Where's your heart? Where's your heart at? God says, "You'll find me." Man, you'll leave out of here with a different attitude when you come searching for him with your whole heart. Amen. You'll leave out of here with a different perspective when you come recognizing who he is and what he's done and what he wants to do and what he's going to do. And you desire him with your whole heart. You desire to meet with him. You desire to worship with him. You desire to make him first and foremost in everything in your life. God says, "Fear ye not me?" No, we don't fear God. We don't respect and we don't reverence his person. He's given us everything. He said, "Oh, here's another one of my messages. He's going to be mean. He's going to be mean today." No, I'm just being true. Amen. God says, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord." Are we acting any different than Israel did? Not one bit. Are we doing anything any different? No, doing the same things. If it displeased God then, don't you think it displeases him now? Amen. When he wasn't reverenced because of who he was then, do you think it's any difference when we don't reverence him now? When we don't make him first and foremost in our life, when we don't give him preeminence in our hearts, in our lives, when he's not the most important thing, the most important person, and when he's not lifted high and lifted up as Isaiah seen him there in chapter 3, when he's not everything that we could aspire to, everything that we could hope for, when he's not first and foremost, how can we say that we reverence him and reverence his person and honor him? You know, over in Romans chapter 8, most people's favorite verse, and one of their favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 8 and 28. But I tell you all the time, I'd encourage you to go read the whole chapter. Amen? I would encourage you to go read the whole chapter. I haven't got around to it, brother. You're in my phone. Trust me. But I haven't got around to it. Brother Joe keeps me on my toes. But go read the whole chapter. There's a whole lot more about all things working together for good to those that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. There's a whole lot more in Romans chapter 8 than that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, he said to be spiritually, or to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. In verse number 7, it says, "For the carnal mind is enmity with God." What's that mean? The carnal mind. It means it's against God. Enmity with God. We can't put the things of the world first and foremost in our lives and wonder why we don't experience the blessings of God in our lives. We can't be carnally minded and worried about the carnal things and not give place to the spiritual things and not let the spiritual things have the preeminence in our lives. It's real simple. You know, we got to give God the place that he deserves. We got to respect his person and reverence him for who he is. Well, most people now, I always tried to be to work early. I can never stand to be a minute man getting to work. And minute man coming to work, they drive me crazy. I was always at work at least 15 minutes early, most of the time a half hour early. If I had a flat tire or broke down on the way, I wanted time to take care of it. I didn't want to be dashing in at the last minute and coming in trying to beat the clock. I just don't play beat the clock. I was always there early. Why? Because that was my livelihood. That was my job. I had respect unto it. Amen. You know the thing that gets you fired from Amtrak and what gets most people fired quicker than anything? Missing time. Being late. Being late is considered missing time. Same thing. Missing time. More people lose their job at Amtrak over that single thing. Am I right, Brother Steve? Missing time. And it's so easy. All you got to do is show up. I mean, even if you're a load and don't do anything, there's so many rules in place to protect you. It's like, you know, working for the government. You can't hardly get fired. Amen? They got a rule for this and a rule for that and a rule for everything else. They can't hardly fire you for anything. But the one thing they can fire you for easier than anything is missing time. And what most people get fired for is missing time. They have no respect for the job that is providing for them. Amtrak's a good job. You're not going to get rich, but it'll make you a good living. Amen? You're not going to get rich, but you have job security. They can't pick your job up and move it to Mexico or China or someplace else. You know, it's got a lot of great benefits. But they have no respect to everything that it has to offer. They don't give it a thought to what they have. Until it's too late, and then they're crying, and they're begging, and man, they hire lawyers, and they do everything. I've seen some of them make it back in a couple of years, and a couple of years of appealing, and a couple of years of processes, and they finally make it back, and then you know what happens when they make it back? No, they wind up missing time again. They get fired again. And that's the way we are with the Lord. Isn't it? Amen. I mean, stop and ask yourself, is this the way I am with the Lord? You say, oh, he's in my heart. He's so good. Well, that's all well and good. But how come you aren't doing all the things that he said to do? How come he's not first and foremost? How come he's not the most important? Why? Because you lost sight of what you have in Jesus. You've lost track of his purpose. You lost track of his blessings upon your life. His provision for every aspect of your life. Lord says, fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Don't you know who I am? I'm the one that has nursed you. I saved you. I like that song. The first time I heard it, Mackenzie and Matt, or Mike Mateo sang it before they were married. They were still dating. But man, I like that song. When I think about the Lord, and how he saved me, and how he changed me. Stop and think about that. Think about what you have. God said, I've nourished and brought up children. And they've rebelled against me. In Jeremiah, he says, fear ye not me? Am I not important? Am I not the one who has provided everything for you, done everything for you? Man, you got up this morning. You know why you got up? Because God blessed you with another day. God blessed you with another breath. Amen. You know why you're here this morning? Because God blessed you with the ability to be here. God blessed you with the place to come. God blessed you with the means to get here. Even those that can't drive, if they want to get here, can get here. All they got to do is make a phone call. We'll make sure they get here. We'll make sure they're here. Anyone that wants to be here, we'll make sure they get here. We'll go to great extremes and great means to make sure that happens. But we don't care. Fear ye not me? Reverence you not me? You care not about me? We don't respect us. We don't respect who he is. Not only that, we don't respect his ability, his power. Look at what he said there in verse 22. The latter part of the verses, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail, though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. And he goes on down, and he's just telling how he has set nature in its place. He has put everything in order. Do you realize who he is? He's the one that spoke the world into existence. Amen. Man, they can talk about a big bang and all that. My question to them, well, if there was nothing, nothing can never make anything. Amen. If there was nothing before the foundation of the world, where did all this gas and stuff come from that caused the big bang? It always just was, but we can't believe in God. It always just was, but we have to accept every other means. You ever stop and think about that? Where did all this stuff come from that caused all this explosion, that caused all this creation that scientists say happened? That they theorize, but they can't prove. And they say, oh, yeah, but look, man has, we're so smart, man can send a man to the moon, man can do this, and man can do that. And I say, yeah, well, That's nothing big. That's nothing new. I can go all the way back in Genesis and show you where God said, man, I'm going to have to do something with these people. If I don't, he said, they're going to reach plumb into heaven. Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen. Man has always had the ability and the knowledge. God had to slow him up. God intervened. We don't have anything new. We don't know anything new. But yet we don't want to acknowledge that God had any part of anything. We read in Genesis that he literally spoke a world into existence. But we have no respect for that power. Ah, well, I got this to do and that to do. It's more important. I'll trust in this and I'll trust in that. Somebody the other day was, I think it was Sean, was wanting to know what form of stuff people use to collect their finances and collect their money and everything. And Jeremy, Calvin's nephew, was over at my house one day, and a fella come in there. I'd never seen this guy before in my life. He come rolling in there in an old car that I was afraid wasn't going to make it back out of the driveway. And he wanted to buy some things that I had. And he said, will you take a check? And I just looked at him, and I said, I got a policy, in God we trust, all others pay cash. Amen? Well, that's the truth. Amen? You know, I trust God. But, you know, we want to trust him in some things, but we don't want to trust him in all things. We want to trust him when it's convenient, but we don't want to trust him when we run anything else. When we think about creation. I'd rather trust God, and I'd rather trust God's word. I'd rather trust the witness of men who were willing to die for what does say at the word of God. Stop and think about this. Why would all these apostles and disciples of the Lord be willing to die and to suffer the way they did for the cause of Christ when all they had to do was renounce Jesus? Right, amen. Let me ask you that. How many people would willingly die for a fraud and a charlatan? Not going to happen. I'd rather accept their account. I'd rather accept what they've written, what their truth is. But we want to accept every other truth. Oh, we understand that he created the world, but, and I believe in some of the things, man, I believe in fossils. But I also know that it don't take millions of years to form fossils. Amen. Oh, yeah, but the scientists say, well, yeah, I know the scientists say because they want you to believe that. Australia's only been a nation for just almost as long as America has. But you know what they have found in Australia in some of the mines there? They have found fossils. You know what they found fossilized? Modern digging tools that men left there 250 years ago that were left, and they fossilized. Bits of clothing that were left behind. Hats that were left in the mine, and they fossilized. It didn't take millions of years, folks. It only took a couple hundred years, and they fossilized. Yeah, I could believe that. I believe in dinosaurs. I believe the dinosaurs roamed the world. I believe the Bible even speaks of behemoth and the giant creatures, the Leviathan and behemoth, and it speaks of the dinosaurs. I know that they were here. I know that they existed because God created them. And when God got done with their purpose, them go extinct. He let them go. I believe in this God. I believe He's the great physician. Now I know, yeah, most of y'all know the story about my brother-in-law that died in snake handling church, and we went down for the funeral. And that preacher down there, we was arguing with him, talking to him about this nonsense, and he said, well, you know, if you get bit by a snake, he said, we'll ask you, do you want to go to the hospital, or that's what they ask him. And he was ignorant. He never got out of the first grade. He could barely write his name. My sister finally taught him to write his name. He could sign his name. That was about it. But he believed what everything these preachers said, and he held it as gospel. And the priest said, no, don't worry about it. When he got bit by the snake, they asked him, said, do you want to trust God or do you want to go to the hospital? Now, if you only believed and can only understand what this man told you, what are you going to do? You go, I'm going to trust God. I said, let me tell you something. I said, I'm going to trust God down at the hospital. He said, well, if you get bit by a snake, we would ask you. I said, don't worry about it. I get close enough to a snake, I get bit, I'm going to faint, and I want to go on record as stating that I'm going to trust God down at the hospital. I want you to know that right off. Amen. But I believe God's able. Amen. I believe God can. You know, the problem is we have something happen in our lives, and we want to trust anything and anybody but God. We forgot how powerful our God is. He's the one that placed the bounds on the sea. He's the one that has placed the bounds and has set the times and the seasons in light and darkness. He's the one that has hung this earth in space, hung it at an exact 26 degree tilt and causes it to revolve at a certain rate and to spin around the sun in a certain amount of times. It was God that set all these bounds. It was God that done all this. It was God that formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And yet we don't have enough time to trust God when we have problems in our physical body. He's given us doctors. He's given us all kinds of, he's given doctors, he's given us lawyers, he's given us scientists, he's given us all these people with knowledge. But they're not to replace him. I can trust God. You know, I go to the hospital. I pray for people in the hospital. I pray that God directs and guides the doctors. Man, my wife gets surgery done. I don't care who they are, whether they like it or not. She said, oh, hold on here a minute. She said, come back here. Doctor gets ready. She said, no, come back here. She said, we're going to have prayer. He said, well, you don't need me. She said, oh, yes, we do. She said, my husband's going to pray for you. She said, I know me and I know him, but I don't know you, and he's going to pray for you. And they don't like it sometimes. But they know they're going to stay there and listen to a prayer. And that's not just one time that's happened, that's every time. I don't go nowhere until we have prayer with the doctor. And the doctors know that have operated on her or have done anything with her before. Not that she don't trust the doctor, but she trusts God more. Amen. 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 We know that man is just an instrument. Man is just a vessel through which God works, and God works through people. Amen? Amen. God works through people, and God uses people. But praise God, that don't excuse us to start putting our faith and trust in people. My faith and trust is still in God. Amen. I got confidence in my doctors. But my doctors know that my faith and my trust is in my Savior. Oh, we have financial burdens, financial troubles, physical problems, losses and gains. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to deal with it. We turn to everything and everybody but Jesus. We turn to everything and everybody. We forgot who is the one that controls all things and can do all things. Amen. We forgot about the one who can convict hearts. You got a problem with somebody. You're trying to deal with a situation. Your marriage is in trouble. You don't need a counselor. You need Jesus. Amen. You're having trouble with your kids. They don't need Ritalin. They need Jesus. Amen. You're having a problem with this and that. And people say, well, I don't like you talking about it. They don't need Ritalin. They don't need this. No, they don't need it. We never had it before. Praise God. A boot and a hind end straighten most of it right out. But praise God, I want you to know who can straighten the biggest part of it out, and that's Jesus. Amen. 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 I got ADD. Trust me. I get bored with things real quick. But my mom had a cure for that. Amen. I don't care how bored you got with it. She's mean. She was loving. Yeah, loving. Love to beat the snot out of you. I seen her beat him one time with a piece of wood about that long. I forget, I don't know what he'd done, but man, she'd grab anything that was at hand. She picked it up and just commenced to go aboard him. Hey, man. She beat the hell out of us. I mean, she put a fear in you, amen, to do right. Somebody asked me one time, said, where do you live? I said, just go up Muddy Lane and look for the little old woman sitting on the front porch knitting barbed wire. And you found our house. Yeah, amen. But you know what? You got problems. The Lord can straighten them out. You got problems. The Lord can take care of it. You got kids that you can't beat the hell out of them. Sometimes you can't. But you know who can? Jesus. Amen. You got kids you can't chase the hell out of them. Let me tell you who can. Jesus. The devil is in their hearts. The devil's in their lives. The devil's trying to affect every aspect and every part of them that he can. You can't be with them 24/7, but you know who can? Jesus. Man, I see. Man, where's Gracie? I was going to pick on her for a minute. Yeah, she's in the nursery. I can't believe that she's driving already. I mean, it just blows my mind. I've got a granddaughter that in a few years is going to be driving. It just blows my mind. I can't be there with them. I got a grandson that just got a motorcycle. My daughter's back there crying, oh gosh, my baby. Amen. And that scares me to death. But I can't be with him. But I know who can. Amen. I know who can because I know his power. I know his ability. I know there's no place that he can't be. There's nothing that he can't do. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He knows your hearts. He knows what's going through your mind right now. I wish this fellow would shut up so we can get out of here. I'm hungry. Yeah, he knows. But we've lost respect for the power of God. Used to be going to churches, you'd see the altars stained with tears. where people were crying out to God for their children, crying out for their families. Why? Because they knew the power of God. Now instead of praying for them, we run them off to some counselor somewhere, puts them with a bunch of dope, and gets their minds all messed up and think we've done the best thing that can be done when what they need is Jesus. The help they need is found in Jesus. We take them down to clinic. I tell you, Billy got saved. Pretty soon he was dragging everybody down here. Then Eddie got saved. They found out that rebirth would set you free and make you free and keep you free. They found out that man's programs will keep you in bondage. Why? Because they found there's power in Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power that'll make a difference. Amen. He is the one that sets us free and makes us free and keeps us free. God says, "Fear ye not me. You've lost respect for who I am. Reverence for my name. You've lost respect for my power." Man, we have the greatest asset that any individual could ever ask for. You know, people are looking at all their assets. They count their bank accounts. They count their exercise. They count everything else. You know, the greatest asset you can have in your life is Jesus Christ. Amen. If you got Jesus, you got everything. If you got Jesus, you have more than you will ever need to sustain you. But we've lost sight of that. We've lost respect for that. Amen. Heard somebody talking about exercise. I like that scripture. It says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but it profits little. It won't do what Jesus does. Amen. And then there's that good one. It says, the wicked man flees. The wicked man runs when no one's chasing him. So next time you see them joggers going down the road, ain't nobody a-chasing them. You got to wonder about them individuals. Amen. We've lost respect of God's ability. And lastly, we refuse God's reproof. Look at verses 24 and 25. Neither say they in their hearts, "Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in the season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest." And God says, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." God wants to bless our lives. And the only way that He can bless our lives is for us to surrender our lives. The only way we can surrender our lives is to follow His reproof. See, that's what the Spirit of God is within us to do. It's to guide us. And He said, Jesus said, He will guide us into all truth. He will show us the way that we need to go. He will keep us in the path that we need to be in. He will keep us where we can be blessed. But we refuse God's reproof. We come to church and all we want to hear is the preacher tell us how good we are. "Well, you ain't good. You know better than I am. And I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, rotten, low down, stinking sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke. Been saved by the grace of God. And you're no better than I am. I'm no better than you are. We're nothing. Apart from Christ and apart from His righteousness, we're nothing. We're unworthy. We need the reproof of God. We want to hear how good we are. But God said 2/3 of my ministry is telling you how bad you are. Reprove, rebuke, then exhort." Amen. 2/3 of what I'm called to do is to remind you who you really are. To remind me who I really am. So that we can get ourselves where we need to be. So we can correct what is wrong. We can accept his rebuke and his reproof. Your iniquities have turned away. What did God say over in Isaiah? He said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Amen. What keeps God from blessing us in our life? It's our sin. Amen. What keeps God from giving us what we really need and what he wants to pour out upon us in our life? It's our sin. It's not God not wanting to do it. It's us hindering him in doing it. Proverbs 15, 32 and 33 says, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Well, we can first take that. He that refuses preaching, amen, certainly despises his own soul. Then we can take that even further and even deeper. He that refuses the Spirit of God when he speaks to their heart despises their own soul. He that refuses the Word of God despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. See, before God can bless us, we have to humble ourselves. Before God can bless us, we have to conform to his way of thinking, his way of living, his way of doing things, conform to his word. Before he can bless us, we need to understand how much he cares for us and how much he loves us. Understand that he reproves us because he cares. Hebrews 12 and 11 and 13 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands and hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. See, God brings reproof into our life. He brings rebuke. He brings chastening unto us. And we get angry and we get mad at God when he's trying to straighten us out. He's trying to make us right. Kind of like Nick when he was little. Deb signs everything he gets. Toopit mama. She wouldn't let him have his way. And she used to spoil him. I mean, I used to get on her and say, you're spoiling that boy too much. We just lost Allison. And Nick and Allison were real close in age. And I can't help it. I can't help it. I got to. And one day he wanted something and she told him no. And he's about 2 or 3 years old. He was a cute little fella. And he just turned around and went up the back steps. Right out of the kitchen, started up the steps. And here he was stomping. Toopit, mama. That's the way we act sometimes to God. He reproves us and he rebukes us. He gives us instructions so that he can be a blessing to us. But we get mad at God. Can't you hear yourself as a spoilt little brat? Toopit God. That's basically what you're saying when you refuse him. God don't know what's best for me. God don't know what's good for me. God, he shouldn't have had me listen to this message. I needed to hear how great and how good I am and how blessed I can be and how rich I can be and how much money I can get and how much of this and how much of that. It's all about me. And no, he sent this preacher to tell me today that I need his correction. I need his reproof and his rebuke. We get angry. But God knows your heart. And God knows what you need. And God prepared the message that you needed. Why? Hebrews 12 and 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Why? Because he loves you. Now, you don't pick another person's. Now, back in the day, it was acceptable, but today, isn't it? You don't pick another person's kid up and spank it, do you? God doesn't either. When God corrects you, He corrects you because you're one of His. When God corrects you, He corrects you because He cares. When God corrects you, it's not pleasant sometimes, and we don't want it sometimes, but we realize we need it sometimes. And if you live your life without that chastening of the Holy Spirit, the chastening of God, you better check your relationship. Because God said, you're not a son, you're a bastard. You're not a Christian, you're an imposter. You're not part of the family, you're from the outside. You're not real, you're a fake, you're a phony. Why? Because He's not dealing with you. He's not caring for you. You're an imitator and an imposter. For whom He loveth, He also chasteneth. Why does God chasten us? Why does God deal with us? Why does God reprove and rebuke us? Because He loves us. Friends, today, God wants to do a work in your life. But before He can do a work in your life, before He can bless your life, you have to recognize Him for who He is. You have to have a reverence for His person. You have to realize His power and receive what He wants to do in your life, what He wants to do through your life. What He wants to do with your life. And we have to accept His reproof and His rebuke. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song.